We have a special visitor tonight, and it's a little out of normal. Sometimes you just follow the Lord. Brother Hector Calderon is here from Honduras. He is the national pastor that Brother Dwayne Chase works with down in Honduras. He flew up to make sure Brother Dwayne was okay, because Brother Dwayne hadn't been down there in a while. So he wanted to check in on him. So I'm going to ask Brother Hector Resto to come here, and Brother Hector Calderon to come here, and Brother Hector's going to, he's going to interpret for Brother Hector. Hector for Hector.
Buenas noches a todos.
Good evening, everyone.
Encontrarme con el hermano Hector es bueno estar aquí.
It's a good deal to have found Brother Hector here.
Saludos de Honduras a todos.
Hello from Honduras to all of you.
Hace unos 23 años.
About 23 years ago,
recibí a Cristo como mi Salvador.
I received Christ as my personal Savior.
Lamento el tiempo anterior.
He regrets the time prior to that.
No hubo persona que me hablara del Señor.
There was no one to speak to him about the Lord.
Hasta que una misión americana,
to an American missionary went out,
llegó a mi pueblo.
To his town.
Y ellos empezaron a hablar de Cristo.
And they were talking about Christ.
Yo no sabía qué era eso.
I had no idea what that meant.
Y mi hija, ella quería estar en la escuela dominicana.
My daughter wanted to be in the Sunday school.
Y yo dije, no.
No.
No. Ellos son evangélicos.
They are evangelists.
Nosotros somos católicos.
And we're Catholics. No.
Pero yo no sabía qué era eso.
I had no idea what that meant.
Pero un día, mi esposa dijo, déjala que vaya.
One day my wife said, let her go.
Yo dije, okay, está bien.
Okay.
Y mi esposa un día dijo, yo quiero ir también a ella.
Then my wife decided, I want to go too.
No sé.
I don't know.
Al tiempo mi esposa dice, aleluya, aleluya. Y yo, ¿qué pasa?
Time went by and my wife's like, aleluya, aleluya. And I'm like, what's going on?
Dijo, yo recibí a Cristo, dice.
I received Christ, she said.
¿Qué pasa? Dije yo. ¿Qué
What's
es
going
eso?
On? What does that mean?
Ella dijo, ahora seguís vos.
Oh, she said, you're next.
Dije, no.
No, no.
Yo no tengo problema que vaya a la iglesia.
I have no problem for you to go to church.
Pero conmigo no se mete.
But do not get involved with me.
Me gusta como Dios trabaja.
I like how the Lord works.
Nos cierran la boca a nosotros.
Closes our mouth.
Con el tiempo,
as time went by,
yo tuve que ir a la iglesia bautista también.
I had to go to the Baptist church.
Y con el tiempo,
with the time,
en la predicación de un día domingo en la noche,
listen to a preaching on a Sunday evening.
El pastor llamó para alguien recibir al Señor.
They had to make the calling.
Y ahí apareció Hector.
And this Hector showed up.
Después de decir no.
After saying no.
Ahora sí, Señor.
Yes, sir, Lord, now.
Lo siento por haberte ofendido.
I'm sorry for having offended you, Lord.
Lo lamento. No haberte prestado atención.
I regret not having paid attention to you earlier, sooner.
Por eso hace 22 años.
So that was 22 years ago.
Yo dije, Señor.
I said, Lord.
Yo te voy a servir.
I will serve.
Igual a usted.
Same as you guys.
Igual que usted.
Same as you guys.
Un día estábamos fuera del redil.
One time we were outside of the church.
Pero el Señor estaba con sus brazos abiertos.
But the Lord was with his arms wide open.
esperándonos.
Waiting for us.
Por eso estamos hoy aquí.
And that's why we're here today.
Para decir que en Honduras.
To let you know that in Honduras.
Jesucristo es el rey también de nuestros corazones.
Jesus Christ is the King of our hearts as well.
Y hay un ministerio allá.
There's a ministry over there.
En el que niños.
In that the kids.
Que no tenían esperanza.
Had no hope.
Hoy Jesucristo cambió su vida.
Today Jesus Christ changed their lives.
Niños que no podían ir a la escuela.
Kids that couldn't go to school.
Porque uno de ustedes lo patrocinó.
Because of the support of us.
Él pudo ir a la escuela.
The kids were able to go to school.
Y cambiar su vida.
And change his life.
Eso hacen ustedes.
That's what you guys do.
Ayudar a otras personas.
Help others.
Hay niños comiendo.
There are kids eating now.
Hay niños yendo a la escuela.
Kids going to school.
Hay familias transformadas.
There are families that have been transformed.
Porque escucharon.
Because they heard.
Del Señor Jesucristo.
About Jesus Christ.
Agradezco.
Appreciate
este tiempo que me dan.
This time that you guys give me.
Pastor, gracias.
Thank you, Pastor.
Ustedes han estado en Honduras.
You guys have been in Honduras.
Y ustedes saben muy bien.
And you know exactly
las cosas que nosotros estamos haciendo.
That we are doing over there.
Los invitamos para que ustedes sean parte.
I invite you all to be part of it.
De este gran proyecto del Señor.
The big project that the Lord is working on.
Y estamos seguros.
And we're sure.
Que nos sentimos bendecidos.
That we're blessed.
La gloria.
The glory.
El honor.
And the honor.
Y nuestra adoración.
And our adorations.
Para él.
To the Lord.
El Señor le bendiga.
God bless you.
Amén.
Amén.
Nursing home. Some of the ladies that come had some serious problems today with pain. Little Jamie, her feet are starting to twist in and turn, and I guess it may be arthritis is getting down in there. And Miss Dorothy's back. Miss Virginia cut her leg. And Miss Lena has some skin cancer growing on her back, and they don't seem to want to do anything about it. So y'all be in prayer for those folks that come over there to it. I don't know if many of y'all know this, but Brother Harry, how long have you been a preacher? How long have you been a preacher, Brother Harry?
How long have you been a preacher? Well, I started my ministry when I got saved, but trying to get people to go to church and talk to them about the Lord. But actual ministry, I don't know when. I can't tell you when I started. Started when I was in my teens and my ministry started whenever I somewhere in my teens I started preaching.
Amen.
And you know, behind the pulpit, but the ministry is not all behind the pulpit. Ministry is out here in the world and taking the gospel to the people. And people don't just normally come to church. That is my opinion, observation, that you know, people need to be encouraged and also warned that eternity's long, and hell is hot, and heaven is sweet.
Amen. 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 And you're running upon 88 years old right now, aren't you? You're running up to 88?
88. You're 88, right? How old are you?
Oh, 88. I'm 88.
88 years old. All you folks out here running around at 26 talking about how tired you are. Come chase Brother Dwayne around that print shop. Man, my hips and elbows hurt sometimes. Like I can't even complain over there because Brother Dwayne's jumping around on all that. I just zip it up. Stay busy. I tell you, it's well worth it. It really is. Look at the longevity of some of our seniors still serving the Lord. It's worth it, young people. It is worth it. Stay in it. Stay faithful. We're going to be in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and we'll go down to verse 18 where we let off last week. Again, it's good to have visitors with us tonight. I hope they enjoy themselves, and y'all make yourselves friendly and make yourselves hospitable. To those that come in that are new to our fellowship, so that they feel at home. You just make them know that you genuinely care about them and about their well-being, and glad that they're actually here. You know, be thankful. And understand this: visitors that come our way, there are a lot of churches they could have chose went to. But by their choice, they came into our church, and by our choice, we ought to show ourselves friendly and glad that they're here. So be thankful when visitors come and make yourself available to them the best you can. And let them know that we do genuinely care about them. Okay, so Mark chapter 12 and verse number 18, if you would. You know, last week we had the Pharisees and the Herodians, a very religious sect, a political sect we talked about. This is actually on the same day in the scripture. It wasn't a week difference. This is one after another. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could really handle a face-to-face question and answer session with the Lord. I mean, this is what you've got here. And he's always answering their questions with questions there. And so you had the Pharisees and the Herodians last week as we looked through there in verse 18. You have here, then come unto him the Sadducees. Now my pastor used to make a joke of that, the Sadducees. He'd say, the Sadducees are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. That was kind of something he really liked and kind of stuck with me. But it says there, as we read on, which say there is no resurrection, Mark chapter 12 and verse number 18. Mark 12 and 18. Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say, there is no resurrection. They ask him, say, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Verse 20, now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died and left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed, lest all the women died also. They already don't believe in no resurrection. What's the very next question that verse says? In the resurrection, therefore. This is how silliness takes place. You don't believe in the resurrection. You come up with some hypothetical this, that, and another. And then on verse 23, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall raise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven, and as touching the dead, that they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Verse 27, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Greatly err. Now concerning the unbelief, their unbelief concerning the resurrection there in verse number 18. Now they believe that there was no resurrection. They believe there was no rewards nor punishment in another life. They denied the immortality of the soul, the resurrection of the body. They denied that angels exist, that there was a spirit. They rejected good traditions. They only owned the five books of the Bible, the first five books of the Bible. They only stuck with those. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all they stuck with. They only followed those. If you would, flip over to Acts 23:8. Hold your place in Mark. Acts 23:8. You see, Paul was a Pharisee, so he understood all this. In Matthew, in Acts 23, in verse number 8, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And so their unbelief surrounding the resurrection there, and they make it, Jesus makes it known in the writings there in the book of Mark, and as the Sadducees came, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They started quoting from Moses, which is amazing thing when you look at it. So verse 19 says, Master Moses wrote. So let's see what Moses did write back over in Deuteronomy 25. This is the portion of scripture that they quoted. Deuteronomy 25, verse number 5. Deuteronomy 25, 5. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 25, verse 5, if brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of the husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of the brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. This is the portion that they quoted, but if you go back and you look at it, they didn't put everything together, did they? They just come out with a little bit, a handful of what Moses said, and just left a bunch of it out. There, back over in Mark, Master Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, leave no children, and his brother should take him his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brothers. Then they go into all this here hypothetical thing. Now in my opinion is this, that you know how people get together and different debates, different viewpoints. I believe the Pharisees and the Sadducees had probably already had this conversation, this hypothetical. I believe the Sadducees probably presented this same argument and tripped up the Pharisees a little bit with it. So they thought, well, if we tripped up the Pharisees, surely we can trip up Jesus. So they come up with this here hypothetical thing. This here's a long story. There's seven brothers. And, you know, this, I don't believe, it could happen by a long shot, but I don't believe it really happened, that there was seven brothers. There was an actual man and a woman that married, and then the seven brothers, all of them had them. I think it was just strictly that they might try to trip up and entangle the Lord Jesus Christ with some kind of question that they thought he could not answer. But you know, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us very plainly that we are to avoid babblings and questions that bring about strife. And this is what's going on. They're just trying to bring about trouble and strife. And they present their question there in verse number 23. You notice there in the resurrection. Therefore, okay, no doubt that this question is something that they've used. But how in the world do you step up there and bring in something that you don't even believe? I mean, how do you bring in even the thought of the resurrection if you don't believe it? That would be like me, having a conversation with somebody. Now, I don't even have an example here. Let my mind run a little bit and I'll think of something. It may not be accurate, but, for instance, you know, I personally believe there's more information under the ocean than there are out in the stars. That's my personal belief, my opinion. I guess I can have my opinion, you have yours. We are near to NASA, so I have to be careful with it. I think we can find more information here on the Earth that'll help humans than we would on Mars. That's all I'm trying to say. We spend a whole lot of money out there, and that's another story. But I don't believe that, so I've let that be known. I believe that there's more information under the ocean that can help us than out in the ocean. Then I give you some kind of story, and I say, well, by the way, you know, we could have some antibiotics out there on Mars. Wait a minute, preacher, you don't even believe that it's even... You see the foolishness here? They don't believe in the resurrection. They asked this long hypothetical question, and then all of a sudden they said, well, what about the resurrection? Now, Jesus could have shut them off right there, couldn't he? He said, what are you talking about? You don't even believe in the resurrection. You don't even think there is such a thing as a resurrection. But he entertained them. What I'm saying is, dear friend, when somebody comes and entertains you, you don't have to get entangled in their foolish babblings. Let them say their piece, give them some scripture, and move on about your business. You don't have to sit there and argue with them for the next 45 minutes to an hour. Especially when you're out visiting and soul winning and trying to reach somebody with the gospel, I believe that's just a trick of the devil. Get you entangled up with somebody, you sit there talking about seven wives and seven husbands, and next thing you know, you'll be be saying, where's my rug to pray on Friday? Don't get tangled up. Answer the questions. Move on. Matter of fact, Jesus said it this way. You go into a city and you present your cause, you present the gospel, and they receive you not. Dust your shoes off and move on. You're not doing yourself no good by getting into an argument with them. Listen to their what they got to say. Be respectful. Be kind. Give them some scriptures. Let's read what on. Let's read what happened here. In verse 23, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? And the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answered, said unto them, do ye not therefore err? Why do they err? Because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Now he went back to scriptures. What scriptures did they quote? They quoted from Moses. They only handled and took into account the five books of the Bible. Jesus did not run over to Job to try to convince them. Jesus did not run to the book of Psalms to try to convince them. We know that he quoted throughout the Bible, Isaiah. He didn't run to Isaiah. He went right back to the portion of Scripture that they believed. So you're talking with people, whether Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or different belief systems, you're not going to convince them right off the bat that Jesus is not a God. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not buying into it. He's the Son of God. He's not the God. So don't sit there and argue with them for the next 30, 45 minutes with them. Take them to Scripture that shows Jesus is God. Leave them with that Scripture and move on, dear friend, because somebody down the road might be more receptive. Might be more receptive. But Jesus went right back to where they were at, and he dealt with them from the book of Moses. Read on, verse 25. And when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, they arise. Have ye not read? What did he do? Where? In the book of Moses. How that of the bush, God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Ignorance of Scripture, dear friend, produces false doctrine. That's why the Bible commands us that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the Scripture. We as God's people need to feast upon the Word of God and have a good handle of the Word of God and a good understanding of the Scripture. This is why I encourage you every time, follow along with me, turn to this page. This is why I repeat Deuteronomy 25:5-6. Because I don't want you to get frustrated and get left behind. I don't want you to think, well, he's the preacher and he knows what he's talking about, dear friend. I'm telling you, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if you follow along in Scripture, you have a daily time of Scripture reading, you hide the Word of God in your heart and the Word of God becomes real to you and it is something that you rely upon and you can handle it, dear friend, readily, and you can go from this place, that place. You can study down through a doctrine or an idea or a thought and you can get to the bottom of that thought. Dear friend, you'll be much better off than if you sit under me, under my preaching for 52 Sundays out of the year and you just sit there and listen. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Scripture. Enjoy the Scripture. Ignorance of the Scriptures produces false doctrine. Every false doctrine out there, they grab a portion of Scripture out of the air and they try to make an entire belief system out of it. Be familiar with the Scripture. Ignorance of the power of God, dear friend, produces all kinds of doubt. So ignorance of the Word of God produces false doctrine. Ignorance of the power of God produces doubt. Look with me over in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by what? By the resurrection from the dead. Because, and Jesus said to him, because you do not know the Scripture, you do err. And the last portion of the verse we read, verse 27, he said, you greatly
err. You greatly err. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 11. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So if you have no knowledge of the Scripture, no understanding of the Scripture, you can without understanding the Scripture, knowledge of the Scripture, dear friend, we are ignorant or without knowledge of the power of God. Because the gospel, dear friend, is the power of God. And we find the gospel in the Word of God. You know, it says, according to the Scripture. He died for our sins. According to the Scripture, He was buried. According to the Scripture, He rose again. We've got to get away from having preconceived ideas. And we got to get to the point and understand that it is God's Word. It's absolute. It's unchangeable. It's infallible. It's without error. And God was the human, was the controller of the humans who wrote it. He used them as big ballpoint pens, if I may. He allowed their characteristics. He allowed their mentality. He allowed their language. He even allowed their educational backgrounds. And He used, but He was the author, the Holy Spirit of God, was the author. And so when you have ignorance of Scripture, different, it produces false doctrine. That's why you have to be careful when you're, flipping down and around through the Scripture. I found myself intrigued. You know, I'll be on there and look, some of the different religious channels and say, let me see their mannerisms. I want to be the best preacher and best pastor that I possibly can. And you do that by looking and watching and seeing how people interact. Now, I do it sometimes. Then I get caught up. Wow, man, that sounds good. Man, that might work. Now, I jot down something, make a mental note. Then I go compare it to Scripture. I say, how in the world did I even... charisma, mannerisms. I'm telling you, some men got it. I mean, some can just keep you intrigued and keep you enthralled and keep you following along. Before long, you know, laid your Bible over there and you're just soaking it up. And you're absorbing what they're saying and absorbing what's going on because you're intrigued by perceived or abilities that lie within them. But whenever Paul said that I will not come to you with enticing words, but by everything that is found within the Scriptures. I can be honest with you, dear friend, you can make all kind of friends if you skip around and jump around and stay with certain topics within the Scripture. You can make everybody happy. But the Bible says if every man speaks well of it, you're a false prophet. Now listen, no preacher in his right mind says, leaves a study, puts on his preaching boots and grabs his Bible and his six-shooter and he puts it into his the holster and he pulls it out. I think I'm going to offend Brother James tonight. Well, I think I'll get Brother Jim tonight. If he does that, there is something spiritually wrong with his own heart. Because the Word of God is not a whipping post to beat people and browbeat into submission. We're not MMA fighters and UCF cage match fighters. We are to present the power of the Word of God as it is to people who as they are, so that the Holy Spirit of God might get into their lives and take the Word of God and conform them into the image of Christ. And so a preacher, you know, I've heard you preach for almost 9 years now, and there's some areas that I just, I'm not willing to give up and change. You haven't rejected me. I love you. I'm still going to pastor you. What you have rejected is God and His Word. And you give an account for that. Now, for all of a sudden, we're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the Word of God, like we are in the book of Mark. And I know that there's somebody here that's got a problem with the resurrection. And boy, they got some deep pockets. And man, they take me on a hunting trip every now and then, take me fishing down there, down the road on their boat. And I said, man, if I preach on that resurrection thing, Brother Dwayne, they ain't going to take me fishing no more. And I just skip on past it. Guess who's giving account then? Me. Ignorance of the Scripture produces false doctrine. And I'll tell you, dear friend, to spoon feed and run over and put honey on things and sugarcoat things all the time. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be cruel. This is something I've had to learn. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If I preach and go through the Scriptures, let the Word of God rip through. It does a whole lot better. I found out also through doing this and preaching this and allowing the Word of God to do it in the fashion that it was meant to do, dear friend, you're less mad at me 2 days later. Now, you might be upset because that's just the fact of the matter. I'm the messenger. I'm the one presenting it. But as soon as the Holy Spirit of God gets in there and says, hey, buddy, that's not the preacher. You know you're wrong in that. Next time you see me, it's just passed on. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Oh, but if I do it in the flesh, and I do it in my own carnality, and I do it out of spite, then friend, it might be weeks, months, years. You might just decide to head on to the house. I know I'm wrong, but he ain't going to lash out at me like that. That's something I've had to learn. The Word of God is powerful. I mean, it is powerful. And he went right back at them. And he showed them the Scripture and took it. Now, they were ignorant of the resurrection. You know, they assumed that there was a resurrection, that things would just go on as it would. And, you know, just, I guess, like it's always done in heaven, it's, you know, things are just going to continue on. But look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 38. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 38. 1 Corinthians 15, 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of a flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of and another of birds. I guess they did not understand all this. That I don't know what they were thinking. I can't even grasp what the Sadducees was thinking. You know, everything in heaven is just like we translated from earth to heaven. That's not how it takes place. The Bible talks about it in the book of 1 Thessalonians that those that are dead are asleep. Shall rise first, have resurrection, and we which remain shall be caught up together with them. And it's by the power of God, by the powers of the Holy Spirit of God. Not every flesh is the same. I'm not understanding what the Sadducees was doing. And it went on from the resurrection, and this is how false doctrine does. It doesn't just stop in one area. So it went on from the resurrection. And it went on into angels. It passed on into angels. Back over in Mark chapter number 12, verse 25. Mark 12 and 25. For when they shall rise from the dead, that they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And so Jesus covered that. So listen, you don't even believe in angels, but this are. In Hebrews, Jesus, the Word of God, gives us a stern warning that we should be careful entertaining strangers, because some of us have entertained angels unaware. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about seraphims and winged angels, six wings, you know, two they covered their face and their two flew and two covered their feet and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." Those are real angels that watch over the throne room of God. But when angels have come down upon this earth throughout Scripture, they presented themselves as men. So angels are real created being by God. And so it didn't stop the resurrection. It went on. I'll tell you this, dear friend. If you find yourself believing something in error, stop. Don't keep going. Hold your horses. Get into the Scripture and allow the Word of God to correct you. What was Scripture that you was looking for this morning? Brother Mike quoted it for us. Gave us a portion of it. All Scripture. What is it? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's go there real quick. 1 Timothy 3:16. And look what it says. You said 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Yes, there it is. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What's doctrine? That's the teachings. Throughout Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Oh boy, I've needed some reproof time and time again. The Word of God gives it to you, doesn't it? For correction. So not only reproof, but it corrects us. So if you find yourself in error believing something, get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to correct you for instruction in righteousness. Allow it to keep you right. Allow it to instruct you in righteousness that you might stay right with God. And they were, look with me over in John, chapter number 17, Gospel of John. So it went on from resurrection on into angels. The error did. John 17 and verse number 22. The Gospel of John chapter 17 and verse number 22. Listen what it says here. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. So Jesus is asking the Father to love us as he loved himself. He didn't do that for the angels. He didn't do that at all for the angels. Matter of fact, dear friend, if you ever thought about this and pondered this thought, dear friend, Jesus Christ died for humans. But the angels rejoice in heaven when we trust Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Something they cannot even partake of. That's amazing to me. I mean, that is an amazing thing there. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse number 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Amen. That we should be called what? the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to partake of the same glory. No, we're not going to be God. We're not going to be a little God. But we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the angels that are there are going to be the same as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the glory of God. For he so loved us this much. And if we can get understanding of this, but this false teaching, no existence of angels, and things are just going to continue on in heaven as they were on earth. Oh, no, dear friend. The Bible teaches very plainly that each and every one of us who are saved are going to stand before the bema seat of Christ, and we're going to give account for what we've done in this body, whether good or bad. Well, there is rewards in heaven. Matter of fact, if you go over to the book of Revelation, study through the book of Revelation, there's a time and opportunity for all of us that when we're in heaven, that we'll be able to lay the crowns at his feet, because he is worthy. So the very rewards that he rewards us with, we in our humility and understanding will lay them back down at his feet and say, Lord, you are worthy. You and you alone are worthy. And they was ignorant about what Moses said, and he took them right back there to the book of Moses. And look over in Exodus, where we've been all this time. Look in Exodus, back over in Exodus chapter 3. And this is the scripture he used them, used to stop the gainsaying, you might say. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Look down at verse number 15, if you would. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. God's not the God of the dead. Moses, they were not dead. We are alive in Christ Jesus. Now, I was dead in trespasses and sins. They're worried about this resurrection thing and this resurrection. Well, what about this here? And he said, look, he's the God of the living. So what does that bring us? We're about to close. My soul, it's past 7:30. Wow. Oh, I better hurry up and get done. It brings us to this. That if he is our God, we are alive in Christ Jesus, then live like you're alive. Quit living like you're the dead. We're not zombies. We are, first and foremost, before we were saved, we were created in his image. And now I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Quit fooling around with dead things, carnal things, and things of this world. False doctrines and preconceived ideas about this and that and other. And say, Lord, teach me thy way. Lord, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Through the Word of God. Cleanse himself through the Word of God. Boy, the Sadducees showed up. All kind of questions, seven wives, seven this, seven another. And he said, okay, whatever. Let's deal with what Moses really said. What Moses really said. Leave your preconceived ideas outside of your prayer closet. Get your Bible and say, Lord, teach me from your word. Teach me. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we have been able to be in your house. Lord, to be able to study through the scriptures. Lord, I ask tonight as we went into this portion of the passage, and there's all kinds of error, all kinds of error, false teachings and false ways and doctrine, Lord, out there. Help us, God, to be studious students and disciples of thy word so that we can recognize it, so we don't get caught up in it. Lord, because it hinders our faith in your power. God, I ask that you'd help our church, Lord, to be disciples, learners of thy word and thy way. Help us to be conformed to thy image, that we'll be a good testimony for you and a good ambassador on your behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.